sometimes hallelujah, sometimes praise the Lord, sometimes gently sing.
Praise tonight. Oh, isn't God good to us? I don't know about you, but I've been looking forward to church all day long. How about you? Are you glad to be in the house of the Lord tonight? I know we missed Wednesday night, but it seems like it's been a long, long time since we got to be in the house of the Lord. Isn't it good to be in church? Isn't it good that you've got a desire to come to church? Aren't you glad God gave you something that drives you to want to come to the house of the Lord? Somebody say praise the Lord. Now give him one more hand clap of praise if you love him tonight. Amen. It's a privilege to be able to come to church. And I certainly know that you believe that, and I know you're glad to be here tonight. Why don't you turn around, shake somebody's hand, greet them in the name of the Lord. Tell them you're glad to see them in the house of the Lord tonight. Play that and sing the second verse for me. Play it. Sounds good. Bless you, brother. Appreciate you. Bless you. Appreciate you, Brother Samuel. God bless you.
sounds of praises fill the air.
Oh, sing about it.
Oh, let us sing of Jesus' love.
Say praise the Lord. Amen. I'm going to let you be seated tonight while we look at our prayer request. Brother Terry Horn made it back home safely. We thank the Lord for that. He's going to come and pray over the prayer request, give us a brief summary of his trip. And I believe he told me it's the best one he's ever made so far. So we praise the Lord for that, don't we? Amen. Sister Martha Ann wants to turn in these prayer requests tonight. For Sister Jan Winters, she's retaining fluid. She asked me to put in a prayer request on her behalf. So we certainly want to pray for Sister Jan Winters that the Lord would just touch our sister. Also, Sister Martha Ann wants to thank the Lord for touching her this week, as I've been feeling sick the last couple of weeks, and she wants to thank God for His healing touch. So we praise the Lord for that. I want to remember Bill Kennedy in prayer for stomach pain. Also, Linda Kennedy and Tammy Sutherland request prayer for their nerves. Let's just commit those things unto the Lord tonight. Ask God to be with them. Brother Daniel Barclay sends this in on behalf of Lori Todd, has cancer. She believes in the power of prayer, and she's seeking a closer walk with the Lord in her life. So let's pray that God would grant that. Brother Tim Mullen sends this in. My niece, just about an hour ago, was attacked in a park. She was able to fight off the man. Prayer and healing for her spirit. So let's just commit that need unto the Lord tonight, that God would be with her. Please ask the church to pray for the country of Kenya. There has been an attack in Kenya that has left people dead and others seriously wounded. So we certainly want to pray for that part of the world, that God would just intervene in those folks' lives. Sister Ruth Ward wants to offer this testimony tonight. I want to thank everyone for the cards, calls, and most of all for your prayers during my sickness. Especially wants to thank Sister Jane Terrell and Sister Martha Sacker for all the help that they gave her. So we praise the Lord that Sister Ruth Ward is feeling better tonight. Amen. Sister Linda Jablonski wants to thank all of you for your prayers, love and kindness, the cards during the passing of my father. It meant the world to me. Please continue to pray for my sister's salvation and comfort. May God bless each one of you. So we praise the Lord that they're doing well, and just continue to pray that God would comfort their hearts. Please pray for Brother Pete Lawson. He just injured his hand and is in the emergency room. So we want to remember that need tonight as we pray. All the unspoken prayer requests tonight, if you have a need, we'll just commit these things unto the Lord. I'm going to let you remain seated. Brother Terry's going to come and give you a brief summary about his trip. And then he'll have you stand and we'll join our brother in prayer. Appreciate Brother Terry Horn, don't we? God bless you. Whatever you want to do.
While we have these things upon our heart and our mind, Heavenly Father, as we come before you now, how thankful we are to be back in the house of God. Lord, it seemed like even though we just had the one Wednesday night miss and several services I've been gone, Lord, it's just so good to be back in the house of God. Lord Jesus, we desire your fellowship. And I'm thinking about what you told us in John 17, verse 24, the only place recorded in the New Testament in Scripture where you, the Lord Jesus, you declared your will. And that was, I will, Father, that those that you have given me be with me where I am also. You desired one thing, Lord. You asked the Father for one thing, and that was our fellowship. How thankful, Lord, we are for that. We desire your fellowship. I pray for these needs, for this cancer individual, the one that had the hand issue, Lord, and the attack in Kenya, the different ones. Lord, as it was in the days of Noah, violence, before the antediluvian destruction, violence filled the land. And once again, violence is filling the land. And as prophet of God said, and when he preached souls that are now present, he said, there I was back in J.C. Penney's store, back in hell again. Look what it is 50 years later. Lord God, have mercy on this last generation. Get your bride ready. Those that's ordained to live, may they receive the truth, come to the knowledge of the truth. Lord, I pray that you touch everyone that there was spoken, every need, encourage our hearts, bless the preaching of the word, and may everything done and said be according to thy will. We ask these, we believe they'll be done, and we look for testimonies. We ask in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. God bless you. You can be seated just for a couple of moments. Thank you so much, first of all your prayers while I was gone. I had, I think, some of the best meetings that I've been in. Had four services. Thursday, I preached Friday, Saturday, two on Sunday. Thursday night, Brother Lewis, the pastor there in Lima, Peru, he had about five or six of the brothers came over to a house, one of the brothers' house, and we had a question and answers. And one of the brothers asked me, and we'll give you just a couple of highlights. He asked me, he said, now, if somebody asked me, what would I tell them about getting to God? And so I just said, well, we just start with Acts 2:38, repent, be baptized, and so forth. And I went through a very lengthy discussion on what repentance meant. Repentance means about face, turn around, and what all that meant. You know, going this way, now you're going that way. And all about repentance. And after about 15 minutes, he said, Brother Terry, I'm that man. I want to get baptized. So I said, well, praise the Lord. So Saturday we had that. Baptism, I'll tell you about that in a minute. Friday we had in service, we had not a prayer line, but prayer for the sick. I prayed for five or six brothers and sisters to receive the Holy Ghost. Just a tremendous meeting. Several to be prayed for physical needs, and God was just with us. I tell you, brothers and sisters, it may be a falling away, but I'm going to tell you also, there's a falling in love with Jesus going along just simultaneously. Saturday we had the baptismal service. And Brother Mateo, he was testifying. I prayed for him Friday night also. He testified, said, Brother Terry, he said, you prayed for me Friday night. He said, I had a stomach condition for over 7 years. He said, after you finished praying, said, my stomach started feeling better. And he testified he was healed from that. You know, it's just wonderful. Saturday, we had the baptism. Sunday morning, we preached after the service. There was a sister came to Brother Lewis after most people had left the sanctuary, and she said, can I ask Brother Terry a question? So we three were standing there together, and as she was telling him in Spanish, I was praying, Lord God, give me something to say to her. She's really hurting. She needs something. And so then Brother Lewis told me her request, and I began to tell her what the Lord laid upon my heart. And God be my witness, the Lord gave me two things to tell her. And after I finished telling her about finishing up, telling her the second thing the Lord laid upon my heart, big tears was coming down her eyes. You could see a smile come on her face. She was a changed woman. She come to service Sunday night. She was all smiles. She was a different individual altogether. I'll tell you, it's time to fall in love with Jesus. Some wonderful services. What I haven't got all the feedback yet. I'm sure we'll hear more. Brother Lewis was just very, very complimentary. He was satisfied with the services and all that the comments from the people, and it's because of your prayers, and I appreciate that. Right before I finish, one thing I can't understand. When I go overseas, I don't know why these things happen to me. First time I went, I missed my airplane. First trip to Africa. Second trip to Scotland, they interrogated me for 2 hours and threatened to take my passport. When I was in Africa, I think the second trip, they threatened to take me to jail because I was on the sixth floor taking pictures out on the balcony. And we had this baptism. You're not going to believe this baptism. Would you like to see it? And we got a little 45-minute clip on this baptism. But first of all, I want to say thank you for your prayers. Thank God that he saved this young man, and I trust he filled him with the Holy Ghost. So here's a little clip of the baptism. God bless you.
bautizado en el nombre del Señor Jesucristo para el perdón de tus pecados y tú recibirás el don del Espíritu Santo. Así que, hermano, si tú te has arrepentido y le has pedido a Jesús que entre a tu corazón, así que cumpliéndose la Escritura en el bautismo y en obediencia a la palabra de Dios para este día, yo voy a bautizar a este hermano en el nombre de Jesucristo. Amén. De acuerdo a tu fe y que tú has confesado esto en el nombre de Jesucristo, yo te voy a bautizar ahora en el nombre del Señor Jesucristo. Wait. Gloria a Dios, gloria a Dios, gloria a Dios, gloria a Dios, gloria a Dios. Bautizado en el nombre del Señor Jesucristo.
It's just good to see stuff like that right there. And every time I see somebody come to give their heart to the Lord, a sinner come to God, a backslider get rededicated, somebody go in the water to get baptized, and it just bubbles my heart over to see God still working on somebody. Are you glad about that tonight? Let's stand to our feet. Ushers, if you want to come at this time, we receive the evening offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're visiting tonight with us in this service, we certainly want to welcome you. Glad to have each and every one of you here. Let's sing a song. We was going to have a rehearsal here Tuesday night, and we couldn't make it because of the parking lot situation. But the Lord willing, we're going to practice Tuesday night. The Lord willing. And we'll have some new songs for next weekend. The Lord willing. And I'll probably end up in the water like Brother Terry did, but we're going to try. All right. But let's sing a song tonight. Something keeps holding me. Aren't you glad there's something that's holding you tonight? Praise the Lord. Before we sing it tonight, let us welcome the Garvin family from Indiana. Would you just raise your hand over here? God bless you. We're glad to have you. Give them a nice hand tonight. Something keeps holding me. Every day I see, helping me faithfully overcome my pride.
Guiding me constantly.
Oh yes, Lord Jesus.
Giving me victory.
Oh, sweet victory.
It's a
something keeps holding me. I want you to sing it with all your heart. Oh, something keeps holding me.
Every day I see.
Oh, helping me.
Yeah.
ready.
Say to lay before me his temptation. It was his desire to steal away my faith. Oh, but I have found just in time this revelation. Jesus is the strength I need. See the King.
Oh, hallelujah.
God bless you. You can be seated tonight. Give Brother Bobby a hand as he comes to sing the service tonight.
I'm so glad that his love drew me to him. It was with my Savior drew me to him. It was with love he led me from the dark. He gave me perfect, gentle understanding. It was with love that Jesus won my heart. It was with love he worked my transformation. Without his love, this wonder could not be. Understanding will my every weakness. It was with love he heard this sinner's plea. It was with love he spoke the invitation. Come follow me, lay down your heavy load. I'll love and serve my dear Redeemer always. It was with love that Jesus saved my soul. Yes, it was with love that Jesus saved my soul.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Bobby. God bless you. Let's stand tonight as we get ready to go on into the service. Brother Donnie's going to come bring us the Word of the Lord. Have you been enjoying the ministry of the Word of the Lord? Has it been wonderful? It's been great, hasn't it? Praise the Lord. Oh, there is going to be a meeting in the air, in the sweet, sweet by and by. I'm going to meet you over there, in that home beyond the sky. Such singing you will hear, never heard by mortal ear, to be glorious, Lord, I do declare. God's own Son will be the leading one at the meeting in the air. Oh, there is going to be a meeting in the air. By and by,
never heard by mortal ear, be glorious, I do declare. For God's own Son will be that leading one at that meeting in the air. For there is going to be a meeting in the air. Sing it, children. Going to meet you over there, and home beyond the sky. Such singing you will hear, never heard by mortal ear, will be glorious, yes, I do. And glory! Be that meeting one at that meeting in the air. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Well, I'm ready. Got my bags packed. Got my token in my life. I'm just waiting for the change. Are you? You ready? Praise be to God. Let's turn, if you would, to Matthew chapter 22 tonight. What a privilege it is for us to be back in the house of God. I so miss church and weekend heaven on Wednesday night, I'll tell you. It's just, I realize that a lot of folks have got just a little, apparently just got a little container for the word and church and stuff. They just got a little bitty teeny container. So they go about once a month. Man, it just lasts them and lasts them and lasts them and lasts them. I don't know what it is. I must have a big one, or my engine uses a lot of bad fuel. My Holy Ghost fuel consumption, I mean, it must just suck the fuel out of my tank. I got to go to church. I got to pray. I got to study the word. I got to. I'm sorry. I just got, well, no, I ain't sorry. I'm glad. Hallelujah. Amen. Matthew chapter 22. Now, Brother Darrell wanted me to express his appreciation for y'all praying for him. I'm sure that you know he had surgery yesterday in his shoulder. Doctor cleaned up some stuff in his shoulder, some arthritis, a couple of different things that they did. And it seemed like he's doing well. He's going to try to be at church in the morning if he can. He just wanted me to express his appreciation for y'all's prayers. I want to speak to you tonight from this parable again that we've been reading for the last couple, three services. Matthew chapter 22, verse 1. Then Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables and said, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Again he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. But they made light of it and went their ways, one to his farm and another to his merchandise. One category now of people who turn away, but there is another category. And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth and sent forth his army and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. Now look in verse 8. Here's where we want to draw our thought from tonight. Then saith he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. So no matter what people say, no matter what they do, they will not stop God, nor will they stop the elect of God. They simply will stop themselves. Now I want to take these two words from this last verse here that we read, not worthy. Can you imagine God looking at people and saying, you are not worthy to sit at my table? You are not fit to pull your feet under my table. You're not worthy to even associate with my elect. You are not worthy. Does it stop the servants? No. They keep right on going. Does it stop the wedding? It don't. Don't even postpone it. It's not 5 minutes late. Hey, all things are ready. There ain't enough devils in hell to stop God from what he's going to do. So if you've got in your mind you're going to dig your heels in the dirt and stop God, yeah, right, you and who else? You couldn't even stop the sun from coming up today, much less God. He's going to do what he's going to do. And I'm going to do what he wants me to do. What about you? Amen. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we so love you tonight. We're just so thankful to be back in church and so excited, Lord, to be in the house of God and know that you've prepared a meal for us, Father.
Lord God, we thank you that you are so, so concerned about our needs in this day, and that you've provided for us a meal which will have all the spiritual nutritional value that we'll have. We have need of in this day. We're so thankful, Heavenly Father, that you love us so much. May the Spirit of God, I pray, take the word tonight. Speak to us, anoint us afresh, that we might be able to receive from your great hand and your bounty. We thank you, dear Father, for the food that we're about to receive. Sanctify it. Bless it to our bodies. May it change them. Lord, whenever we go to take a breakfast or lunch or dinner or whatever, we bow our heads and thank you for the sausage biscuit or the hamburger, whatever we're going to eat. And we ask you to bless it to the nourishment of our body. We're asking you, Father, you bless this word to the changing of our bodies. Grant it, dear God, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, church. You may be seated. Certainly love each one of you and appreciate you so much. What an amazing thing that God would be able to look at people. You know, whenever we think of God's great provision, him knowing that the contrast of light and darkness, the contrast of the net of good and evil, the contrast that is in the kingdom, the contrast of good and bad, the contrast of virgin, foolish virgin, and wise virgin. The Lord Jesus, in having this kingdom and starting what he called to be his church, he knew that in his church would be these two elements. It did not discourage him. It did not dishearten him. He knew that it would be there. So it's prophetic. It's got to be there. But yet for the people of God that kind of rub shoulders with elect, rubbing shoulders with non-elect, wise virgin full of the Holy Ghost, rubbing shoulders with unwise virgin that only has an intellectual face, it can be very, very frustrating. It can be very difficult. It can even be heartbreaking because we love people. We get around people. We fellowship with them. And then we come up to very close to the end of the way. And it seems as if though their intellectual face runs to a certain end and it cannot go any farther. Now you understand that that's exactly what's going on right now around our message. That many of these people have had an intellectual conception of a message of a prophet of God. And their intellectual faith let them go for many, many years until they run up upon things that they can no longer explain from the intellect. And then when the intellect cannot explain it, then they go to heaven, all these questions. Well, I don't understand this. I don't understand that. I don't understand that. And it shows where their faith is. It's up here and not here. Because if revelation is in your heart, even when you run across things you don't understand here, down here still believes it's the truth. But if it's only in your mind, then of course it begins to go over and over and it gets bigger and bigger and you ponder and wonder. And this question adds to that question and that one and that one. The more questions that you have, the more you don't understand, the more the devil jumps right astraddle of you. But if it's real, genuine faith from a revelation of God in your heart, you'll look right at the Word of God and say, it is God's promise, whether I understand it or not. God will bring it to pass. God said so. I believe it. It's not my responsibility to fulfill it. It's not my responsibility to make it come to pass. That's God's responsibility. My responsibility is to believe it and walk according to the gospel of it. Now notice in verse 8, Jesus picks up again after the second stage that the remnant has now mistreated the servants that have sent back to re-verify the message to the gospel call. Now there are an element of those servants that were killed. Of course, he's looking at the span of the gospel, which began 2,000 years ago, running all the way down to the end of the church age. So there was an element of those men that gave their lives for the cause. They were actually killed because they were guilty of inviting people to a marriage feast. They were killed because they were inviting people to give up a sinful, wretched life and to accept a life of eternal peace. Can you imagine people wanting to kill you for that? But they do. And they still do today. So here are these people, these messengers, many of them were betrayed, they were forsaken, they were lied on, they were falsely accused, actually lost their lives. But then the gospel goes on, so Jesus shows it in verse 8. Then saith he to his servants, so these
were preserved from the rage and the militant attitude of the remnant, which shows us there will be men in this day that will survive all the gossip, they will survive all the lies, they will survive all the things that people try to bring against them, and they will keep on telling hungry hearts the message is going right on. They will survive, they will not fall. Come on, church. They will not go away, they will not turn away. Jesus told us prophetically there will be servants that will survive, and they will keep telling the message. Oh, praise be to God. Then saith he to his servants. Now they survived the rage, they survived the malice, they survived the hatred. And what did they do? They kept right on saying exactly the same thing they said before. Then saith he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden are not worthy. Now notice, all the promises are ready. The prophecies are ready. The types are ready. The shadows are ready. All the preparation is ready. Everything that I've done for the consummation of this to be completed, everything is now ready. Now what I want you to do, you servants, is go out and tell some, because there'll still be some that'll be able to hear. Now you can look for whatever you want to look for. I believe God is going to prove his word. I believe of those that are turning away, that God will actually will see miracles among us. I believe that we're going to see a supernatural God, because God is always known by supernatural. And I believe that the final thing will be calling the good and the bad, because some have turned down, they prove they're not worthy, but God will once again, the last pull, the last phase will be God drawing in, it may be wise virgin, it may be foolish virgin, but God opening up this must-go-in type of the parable, that God will draw the very last Gentiles that can be pulled in before the bride goes home in the marriage supper of the Lamb. Oh my, don't be discouraged, church. Don't be discouraged because of the sickness that's around you and the troubles that's around you. Look, we are looking for our destiny to be made manifest in time, and what we're dealing with, all the afflictions and all the things that we go through, it is only temporary things there, and God will turn it right into a blessing if you allow him to. Yes, sir. They which were bidden were not worthy. Now, this is, of course, the Jews in that first dispensation, but it also goes on over to the Gentiles that will turn down. Now, notice how their unworthiness, or the other group's worthiness, was verified or vindicated. Their unworthiness was proven because they turned down this invitation to their feast. Now, it doesn't mention anything just about their hair, or it doesn't mention anything about they didn't pay their tithes, or they didn't go to church, or they didn't believe in God. But their unworthiness was proved because they refused to accept this invitation to be able to come and dine at the feast. Then we reverse and we look at the other hand. Those then that would accept it, their worthiness was based upon, well, I've been in church for 40 years, I've got a red star, a blue star, a pink star, a purple star, I'm the most starred person in church. I've been in Sunday school. I haven't missed Sunday school for 27 years now. And I do all the same. That had nothing to do with it. Their worthiness was based upon they accepted the invitation to the feast, and they considered it the greatest honor of their life. Amen. And this other group's unworthiness was not because they didn't believe in God. It was not based upon, I'm an infidel. I'll tell you one thing, there ain't no God, there ain't no heaven, there ain't no hell. That's not why they was unworthy. They was unworthy because they refused the invitation to the feast. You understand? That's where we are. This is why people are proving they are not worthy to sit under the ministry of some of the men of God in this last day. They're not worthy. Oh my. Notice this. This scripture is verified again in Acts chapter 13 verse 45. Under the ministry of Paul and Barnabas as they're preaching to the Jews. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy. Now you notice these Jews are looking around. Paul and Barnabas are preaching, and the Gentiles, my, they are so grateful to God that God has given them grace. And the Jews look around and they look at the crowd and they think, this is pitiful. This is absolutely pitiful. This makes me so mad that these people are coming to the message. This makes me so mad that these people are coming to this invitation. So they got really all tore up, and the Bible, Luke used the word here, envy, and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. But seeing you have put it from you. Now listen how they term this. And judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life. Lo, we turn to the Gentiles. But now wait a minute. Did those Jews say that? Did they actually say by words that we judge ourselves unworthy of the eternal life? What is Paul going on? What is he doing? He's going by their behavior and their actions. Now look, they're getting angry at those that are receiving the message to the marriage supper. They're getting upset at those that are receiving it. And they're not going to receive it. So Paul looks at that and he equates to this. And he said, you have judged yourselves unworthy. You have said yourself, I am not worthy for heaven. I'm not fit for heaven. I am a candidate for hell. I am a candidate for eternal separation from the mind of God. Now that's what they said by their behavior, not so much their words. Cause their words that said, oh, we believe Moses and we're going to church and we read the Torah and we pay our tithes and we do this. That wasn't what Paul was reading. He was reading what? Their attitude toward the revealed word of that hour. It was not the time of Jeremiah. It was not the time of Moses. It was now the time when the gospel was being preached. Oh my goodness. Notice verse 47. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light to the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation to the ends of the earth. Thank God for that. And when the Gentiles, listen Gentiles, and when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained, listen to this, as many as were ordained to eternal life, believe. As many as were ordained. Don't think this doctrine of eternal life and ordained to eternal life started with Brother Branham. It did not start with him. It started with God. So here were the Jews. They turned it up. Their rejection was a door for the Gentiles to be opened up. God had already told Paul, I'm going to send you to be their salvation. Don't let that choke you. I'm going to send you to be their salvation. You'll go to the ends of the world. And when the Gentiles heard it, which were without the commonwealth of Israel, as many as were ordained to eternal life, believe. Let me tell you something, friend. When it's all said and done, you know who's going in the rapture? As many as were ordained to eternal life. You know why folks, many ever turn away from this word? They're not ordained to believe it. You know why some will never come to it? They're not ordained to believe it. But if God called you and you were ordained, there is nothing that'll keep you from believing it. If mama don't go, if daddy don't go, you were ordained to believe this word. You were ordained to believe, be a believer. You were ordained to set under the ministry of the word of God. Hallelujah. So you know what? I think I'll rejoice too because I'm a Gentile. Now let's look at this same idea from the Lord Jesus again in Matthew chapter 10 verse 37. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Not fit to be a follower of Jesus or a Christian. Now notice, he does not say that we are not to love our father and mother. We are. That's the first commandment with promise. But it is the order of our loves. He that will not, notice the way Jesus says this, he that loveth father or mother more than me. So if the word says one thing and your mama says something else, and you do what mama says, you love mama more than you love Jesus. That's just the bottom line. And you are not worthy of Jesus when you do that. Oh my Lord. Now we're not talking about meritorial works now, whether that you merit salvation. We're talking about after you have claimed to be a Christian. Then if your life does not follow in that word, whatever you put in front of God, whether it's job or money or mother or father, pastor, aunt, uncle, whatever it is that you love more than God, then you are not worthy or fit to be called one of His. Now, if you don't like this, you argue with Jesus when you sing, because he's the one who said it. He that loveth father or mother. Now, you think as far as human love, father and mother, my, that is a great place in our lives, and it ought to be. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, or is not fit. Now, why? Because who we love the most and what we love the most is where our deepest emotions, the deepest part of our life, our devotion, that's where we really will live from. So if it's money, if it's your job, if it's your wife, if it's your children, then whatever it is before God, you will actually worship that thing, and it will become an idol between you and God. And the church said, you see, friend, the Lord Jesus demands of his bride that he must be first in her life. He won't want to be second, third, fourth, 15th, 37th. If you're the bride of Christ, Jesus Christ will be number one in your life. That's right. He demands. He absolutely, this is not an asking, oh, okay, I'd like for you to be, if that's okay with you all, if you think it's okay. He's not asking you if you think it's okay. He is demanding that he be first in your love, first in your affections, first in your emotion. Oh my, you're getting quiet on me. He demands. Can't you see why everybody will never meet the criteria to be the bride? That's why the church will never have him first. They can't. They don't love him as a husband. They love him as one who gave them something that was not part of himself. They can love him as a savior, but not a lover. Come on, they can love him as one who really, oh God, reach there. Oh, I didn't deserve eternal life. Amen. I wasn't worthy of it. Amen. I should have went to hell. Amen. But the bride says, I'm part of him. Amen. I'm a part of that word. Amen. He come to seek and to save that which was lost, and that was me. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh my. Now this statement, of course, does not mean that we're not supposed to love our parents, our brothers and sisters and all that. But we must have Jesus. Remember Revelation 2:4 that he spoke against that church age and said, I've got someone against you because you've left your first love. Y'all, you know what that means? First love? That was him. They didn't stop loving him, but they had now rearranged their order of love. And Jesus was no longer their first love. So he was second, third, fourth, fifth, and then he goes to tell them what their problem is. Now, whenever we leave the order of divine love and we take Jesus out of the first love category, we're going to get in trouble. That's exactly right. Tell me to preach, Brother Donnie. All right, come out of your mouth now. Now, the term that Jesus uses here, worthy of me, is a term that means qualification or requirement. Now, this is not to get saved now. Okay, I'll do this, and I'll quit smoking, I'll quit drinking, and then I'll become worthy. That's not what he's talking about. We're not talking about worthy to be saved. We're talking about worthy to be termed a disciple. Now, whenever you look at being worthy to be called a disciple, it moves over into a total different category than being worthy for salvation. There's no way that any of us could ever be worthy for salvation. But we must, absolutely must, on a daily basis, live a worthy life to be called a disciple of Christ. And that's what a Christian is supposed to be. Now, Jesus says, if a man then will not love me, if he puts mama and daddy and, you know, whatever it is in front of me, he is not worthy of me. Notice in Matthew chapter 10, verse 38. He that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. Now, once you notice, Jesus is not talking about his cross, the cross of Jesus. You see, here we focus just beyond the cross of the Lord. I mean, Christianity, so-called, they preach the cross, the cross, the cross. But I want you to notice in the direction that most of them preach, it's the cross of the Lord Jesus, which is a finished work. It's your cross that's the problem. We have no problem. I will not be reproached in any Christian perspective around the world. If I preach Jesus was the Son of God and that Jesus died on the cross and Jesus died so you could be free from sin. If I would say those few words, I could say that in any denomination basically in the world. But if I go to preaching about your cross and my cross, that's where the problem raises. Because somehow folks get in their mind that if you preach a cross for us, it devalues his cross. that if you preach anything I've got to do after being saved, any works that I have to do, it takes away from his cross. You should have read the Bible a little bit farther. You shouldn't have stopped, because here is the man who's fixing to die on that cross. You reckon he'd know more about the cross than you? Tell me, answer me. You think Jesus know more about the cross than you? Now remember, this is Matthew chapter 10. So this is early on in the years of the Lord Jesus. He's never uttered one word yet about him dying on a cross for sin. Yet he tells the disciples, and he that taketh not his cross. Now how is this? If we're pointing to the cross of the crucified Christ, this is future. He has not yet mentioned to them that he's even going to die on a cross. So how can they relate to any subject matter whatsoever to dying on a cross? Because they saw this constantly before them by Roman punishment. So Jesus' personal identification of the cross has not even come to view yet. But as little boys, many of these apostles saw people dying on Roman crosses. They left them up pretty much. They would build a big rack, one after another, after another. We look at the cross like this and say, that's pretty much it. If you study history, that wasn't really actually the way the cross was built. It was one on top of another, and it was like a rick of them built like this, and they could put hundreds of them side by side by side. But a man would take the cross member, whenever he was fixing to go to the cross, they would take the cross member and take his hands and tie to the cross member this way. And he would bear this part of the cross. The rest of the cross was already standing up, waiting on him to arrive. So he would go through the streets, and they would make it a long way around because they wanted public shame, public humiliation, and they wanted to use you as an example to other people. So when Jesus spoke about the cross, the disciples never even thought about Jesus being on the cross. They thought about this robber, this liar, this thief, this man, that man, because they knew the symbolism of the cross. It never even related to them as yet that Jesus was going to a cross. So what did the cross mean to them? So when Jesus spoke these words, watch this and read again. He that taketh not my cross, his cross, and followeth after me is not worthy of me. Now we're not talking about a man getting saved. He is not worthy to be called a Christian. But Brother Donnie, I believe. Here's the master of belief. He didn't say, I believe. He said, follow. Which is more than believing. It's doing. Amen. Following is more than I believe. If you believe, you will do, and you will do, and you will do, and you will do. So notice in Jesus speaks about the cross and how that if a person does not take up his or her cross, they are not worthy or they are not fit to be identified as a Christian. Why would he say so? Now he's speaking, of course, in the terms of them looking at them. But he himself, within himself, knows that he is going to lay out the pattern. So Christ died on a cross. The Lord Jesus died on a cross. Let me say amen to that. Jesus took his cross. He didn't take Peter's cross or John's cross, but Jesus took his cross. Cross, and it wasn't just the beam, because you know Simon the Cyrenian, it got so heavy that Simon had to come and help him pick it up and carry it all the way. But yet Jesus bore his cross, the cross of sin, the cross of loneliness, the cross of reproach, the cross of shame. Simon the Cyrenian could not bear that cross. Simon helped bear the wood part, but he could not bear the part that Jesus Christ had to bear. Only Christ Jesus could bear that. As your pastor, I can pray for you. I can preach to you. I can love you. I can encourage you. But I cannot take your cross off of your shoulders and put it over on mine and let it become mine for the rest of your Christian life. And you walk along with no burdens and no difficulties. That is not a life worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But yet, that's what a lot of folks want. Oh, my. They want a preacher that won't preach about the cross. Or they don't mind you preaching about the cross of Jesus and tell them everything that Jesus set them free from. But don't you tell me about my cross. Don't you tell me I got to pray and read my Bible and I can't go here and I can't go there and I can't do this, that, and other. Then you're an old legalist. Oh, my. So cross bearing was a symbol of that day. So you're the disciples hearing this. You imagine figure after figure, impression after impression. Maybe the first thing Peter saw was a 10-year-old boy. And he saw another at 12, and another at 15, another at 20, another at 25. And when he sees this, my, you mean, Lord Jesus, I've got to take up that cross and I've got to follow after you. He said, if you don't do it, you're not even worthy to be called my disciple. Really, every Christian is revealed by the way he relates to his or her cross. It's not really just in the way we look on the outside. We might sing beautifully. Ah, we might do all the pious things and look so orthodox. But it's the way we relate to our cross whether it proves we're worthy of the gospel or not. Oh, now, there's one of three things that we can do with our cross. We might spurn our cross and just simply go around and, well, I don't want to go that way. Or you can leave your cross. Or you can take up your cross. Now, the last one is definitely the most difficult. But it's the only ticket out of here in the rapture. So to carry the cross then would be a figurative expression of that which would be burdensome on the bearer. Now, as I've said it before, we look at a cross today, we're hanging on our mirror, and you sisters, some of you wearing one maybe tonight around your neck on a necklace, and you've got them in your home, and that may be bronze or gold or silver or whatever more, and we polish them all up, but that was not the way the cross was at all. It was rough-hewn timber. So whenever cross carried that middle piece to their back, you imagine their arms being full of splinters and across their shoulders full of splinters. It was absolutely made that way to induce pain. It was not like this polished piece of oak with several coats of polyurethane that'd be slick as glass so it'd make it easy to bear. That's not the idea of a cross. And when the Lord Jesus chooses this idea, he does not choose it to be something, okay, everybody can be a Christian, there'll be no difficulty, there'll be no reproach, but he chose a symbol which was the most hated symbol that could be thought of in that day as far as the way of death. If you would have been executed on the cross, it was not only humiliating for you, but your family bore that reproach for years. Your family bore that shame. Jim Bab died on a cross. It would come down to Scotty. It would come down to Ash and Courtney. It would come down to their children. It was in your lineage that you had a great, great grandfather that died on the cross. You were a curse to die on a cross. You know what? If you spurn your cross, you're disloyal. If you leave it, it shows your negligence. But if you take it up, you're a Christian. A Christian that is fit to take on the name. You are a crossback. Remember, that's what they called the original Catholics because they carried symbols of the wooden crosses on their backs. So they called them a crossback. Now, this is where the majority of Christendom has got today. They want eternal life. They want peace. They want prosperity. They want blessings. They want healing. They want joy. They want all the abundant blessings that came from the purchase of his cross. But they do not want a cross themselves. And if they have to bear one, give them a gold one around their neck and be sure there's no splinters on it. Make sure it's nicely polished. And if it's made out of wood, make sure it's nice olive wood or a beautiful ebony or some type of maybe a zebra wood, which is a very beautiful wood, a zebra wood or maybe some exotic wood or some burl, my, an olive burl that would have knots and just brilliant and just put a light coat of finish on it and make it really slick where it won't stick me because I can't stand this pain now. I can't stand to be pain being a Christian. Then you're not one. Christianity was born out of weeping and crying and sorrow and tears. And the church said, Lord Jesus. Now, it does not consist, the cross, of us making trouble for ourselves. It does not consist of your temper, and then you do something crazy or nutty on the cross. Don't blame your long tongue on the cross. Nail it to the cross. Well, glory. You see, friends, Christianity is not just viewing the cross of Christ. That's Antichrist. Folks who point only to the cross of Jesus are not preaching the gospel. The Lord Jesus Christ himself not only pointed to his cross, but to ours. But you see, this is what folks want in the day and hour. I mean, it's been that way since the very beginning. But never like in the day that we're living in, because we're living in Laodicea where people want their rights. Now watch, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. What an amazing word that he uses here. Vocation, which is klesis. A call, an invitation to a feast. A call, an invitation. So your vocation now, in the natural sense, let's watch at it and run it in a parallel. So your vocation will be, Brother Phil is a builder. Some of the rest of you brothers, you deal in converters, and some of the rest of you deal in computer software, and some of the rest of you deal in this and that and the other. And that's your vocation for now. So that's what you do. That's the way you make your living. Your children are supported by that vocation. Your bills are paid by that vocation, hopefully. Amen. You keep your car by that vocation, and you pay your light bill and your electric bill. Well, what kind of religion is it then? If we're called to this vocation of truth, what kind of vocation would it be that couldn't provide me with a body change? If my job is a painter and that's what God called me to be, or a farmer and that's what God called me to be, then if God called me to be that, then God will take care of me even in the hard times. My God will supply all of your needs. That works in recession, out of recession, when Democrats is in, when Republicans is in. That promise don't fluctuate on who's in the White House. That promise reflects on who's in the big house. My God will supply all of your need according to his riches in glory. Right? Well, if I am called to be a Christian, my vocation releases to me the ability to live this word. My vocation as a child of God releases to me the ability. If I go in the grave, I will raise up my own body on the resurrection. It's my job. Glory! It's my vocation. Isn't this amazing though? But Paul again ties this same thought. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of this vocation wherewith ye are called. So then these people can walk a life then that is not worthy of what they're claiming they're called to. Oh my goodness, you mean the life, the something I do has an effect on the power of the cross? It's because you're laying yours down. Both crosses must be in perfect harmony. Look at Jesus' cross, friends. Thank God for it every day of your life. But don't stop there. The Lord Jesus told you you've got one. Now, let's take a Christian, so-called. Modern day woman. Walking down the street, warm weather now. She's got on shorts way up here. Real tight top. Hair bobbed off. Painted face, Jezebel, earrings, makeup, so on, you know, whatever it is. They think nothing about it. She walks right in the door side by side into Walmart, and there's a sinner woman. Ain't a Christian, smokes, drinks, you know, don't even profess something about God. Both of them have on shorts. Both of them have on the same type of clothes. Both of them have their hair cut. Both of them have earrings. Both of them have on makeup. Now, is that so-called Christian woman bearing a reproach for being a Christian? No, she ain't. Not by the way she's looking, she ain't. She's a Jezebel, just like that lost woman. They don't look no different. Oh, but it's what's on inside the heart. Oh, but the outside of the body is reflecting what's inside the heart. Nothing. So here comes a Christian man. He loves God with all of his heart. Suppose he's got on gold all around his neck. Oh my, he's got on his short breeches. Oh my goodness, it just absolutely blows me away why men figure they want to show their pretty legs. I seen a man the other day in Lowe's, and I'm going to tell you one thing, it about took my breath. That man on had a pair of short breeches way up here, and if I ever seen a gorilla in my life, that man had hair on his legs that long, and it was black and curly as all get out. It was plumb scary looking. I thought if I had legs like that, I sure wouldn't want nobody seeing them in public. I thought, what in the world is the matter with somebody? You'd think he'd want to have on double breeches just in case them ones busted so nobody wouldn't see them legs. But you think, now here he walks in, he's a Christian, he says this so-called, it is all this, and here in walks a sinner man, an infidel man, look at him, look exactly the same. Is he bearing the reproach of being a child of God? Absolutely not. Me and Carol sitting in a restaurant the other day in Johnson City, a man and a woman sitting there right in the next booth to us, and they bowed their head and prayed. My, the man prayed and prayed and prayed over their food, and I thought, my, that's really something to see it. And then in a few minutes, he ordered a beer. And then the woman by him ordered another beer, and apparently that wasn't enough, so he called the waitress over and said, we want a, oh, I forget, shot or something inside that. So they wanted a big shot or something other inside their beer. You know, they were praying over the food and drinking beer. Why? This modern Christianity. And yet there's people, you know, over sinners drinking and whatever more, and they think, man alive, this is the life, ain't it? Is that man bearing a reproach of being a Christian? Absolutely not. Why? There is no reproach to that. You look like the world, you act like the world, you talk like the world. What's a reproach in being a Christian? It's a very classy thing today. Yes, I'm a Christian. What church you go to? What'd you say? How's that church you go? Unless you come here, Brother Bill's, or somewhere. Oh, I go to the First Presbyterian. I go to the Lutheran. Oh, that's nice. I know people that go there. That's really nice. Yeah, me and Carol heard of a restaurant today. It's the waitress saying, I'll tell you what, I hate to work on Sunday. She said some of the worst people that you ever dealt with in a restaurant is church people. Me and Carol just sat there and listened at her. She's talking to somebody else in another booth. She said, I go to church myself. She said, I just don't understand it. They're the hardest people to please. They cause you all kinds of problems. She said, I hate to work on Sunday. I thought, I hope she ain't talking about none of my sheep. I thought, what a testimony. What a testimony. You know why, friends? Because they are Christians without. Cross. Now they can sing about the old rugged cross and oh, Jesus died. My. But do folks want to bear reproach? Do they themselves want to be laughed at? Now if one of you sisters walk beside a woman going into Walmart and you've got on a decent dress and decent hair and no makeup and all that and they look at you and the greeter looks at you, welcome to Walmart. And then the cashiers look at you, even the little kids look at you. Why? Because there is a reproach in the way you look. There is a reproach in you not bobbing your hair. But one day you'll be glad you didn't bob your hair. One day when hailstones is falling out of heaven that weighs 100 pounds apiece, you'll be glad you're not in this world. You'll be glad you lived a godly life. Lawler! Notice, not worthy. Not worthy. So here Jesus has this sumptuous feast fixed. My, the aroma of that fresh kill of the hour. Oh, which was what caught a lot of folks to the message anyway. It was that aroma. Oh, I've never heard that in a Presbyterian church. I guarantee you didn't. Oh, I never heard that in the Baptist or the Pentecostal or the Assemblies or no. But that's all they call some folks. Yeah, that's all comes. Just the aroma. They've been around the aroma for years and years and years. Now it's time to sit down and eat. And I said, my belly hurts. I believe this is going to cause me acid reflux. Ooh. Well, something's going to come up. It ain't causing me acid reflux, but something's fixing to come up. I think it might be me. Oh, them seven seals, that bobbed hair stuff. Oh, it makes me sick to my stomach every time them old preachers preach on that old stuff. Make your sister sick to your stomach? Any of your sisters want to cut your hair? You want to put you on a miniskirt and claim you're a child of God filled with the Holy Ghost? Or you want to pick up your cross as women and bear your cross Bear it in the Walmart. Bear it to where you work and don't hang your heads. You ain't got nothing to be ashamed about. Young girls, young ladies, you ain't got nothing to be ashamed about going to college and people looking at you. They wonder where she goes. Look at her. Boy, she's old fashioned. Look at him. Oh, he don't drink. He don't smoke. He won't do this and another. Man alive, I feel so sorry for him. Don't worry, when you're dying of cirrhosis of the liver, they'll have a good one. Don't worry, when you're dying with lung cancer, sucking on them cigarettes, their lungs will still be breathing and praising God. Come on, children. Oh, hallelujah. Why? Because you realize, Ma, there is a walk for you. And after you become a Christian, you've got to take up that cross every day. Not year by year, month by month, but every day. And you've got to walk a life that is worthy. Worthy of Jesus. So you can imagine now, we take a modern day Christian woman, put a miniskirt on her, dress her up like a prostitute. And we put a cross on her shoulder. And here she's heading up the Via Dolorosa behind the Lord Jesus. Or she's going up the Via Dolorosa with a pair of britches on. Is that a life worthy to follow the Christ? Is that a life worthy to follow the Christ? Notice, Paul says in Ephesians 4:2, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. Now, those of you that just found out you're out of Bible, maybe you ought to read this. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. And then make sure you can run your website through this when you do it. Preach, Brother Donnie. I'm going to. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. You mean they're not going to stop just at the cross? They're not going to stop just at the blood of Jesus and never go any farther than that? That is Antichrist. That is not the gospel. Here is the first church age messenger wanting the people of God to keep on going and keep on growing and keep on progressing. Come on, children. There is no stopping here until we are changed. Notice this. Then he leads up all the spiritual wisdom and understanding in verse 10. That you might walk worthy of the Lord. This is after they're Christians now. This is after they've accepted what Jesus done on the cross. But he wants them to walk into a spot that they're able to take up their cross. And they can walk side by side with the Lord Jesus. And look over at Jesus and he's got his cross. And the Jesus looks over at them and you've got your cross. And you're bearing the reproach. Do you think Jesus was loved? Do you think the majority of people loved Jesus when he was here? I've been proving it to you. They hated him. So where would a lot of these modern preachers fit at today? On the side of Ephesus or Jesus? Wonder if Paul would send in a resume to Happy Valley to be the pastor. And the trustees and deacons would read over his resume and present the application to you as the church. This man is applying for the pastor of Happy Valley. We did a little research into his background. He murdered folks. Killed them. He even says himself he was a blasphemer. He goes into places and causes havoc. Cast the devil out of a woman, had a spirit of divination in her, and tore the whole city up. Went into one place and the sergeant got all upset and they had to let him down a wall in a basket. He acts like a coward part of the time, some part of the time he acts out of line. We don't know what the man is. He acts brazen and bold. He stood up and rebuked the Caiaphas's. He rebuked the high priest, called him a whited wall, and then slipped out of a place one night by night. How would you vote? How would you vote, Happy Valley? Would you want a man that's a troublemaker? Would you want a man that stands for the truth no matter what? Or would you want children? Would you want a little sweet darling? Some of these preachers wearing short breeches to church, I think it's very becoming to them. It shows what little sissies they are by wearing their little boy breeches to church. Mama used to make me wear them little boy britches all cut off. I hated them things. One time I was running over the hill at my Uncle Jim Rubin's house. I was flying down through there and he had horses. Man alive, I had on them little boy britches. I didn't realize they'd put up electric fence since I was there. I bore the marks of them little boy britches for a long time. Oh my! It would be unbecoming for me to stand up here in short britches and preach to you. Come on, children. Don't get quiet on me. Hallelujah. But it's very fitting for some of these perverts that stands in the pulpit. Ha ha. Brother Donnie, when are you gonna ain't? Ain't? No. Is that a life worthy? Is that a life worthy of the Lord God? A life that bears no reproach and shuns any controversy. That you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing. Oh no, not again. Don't tell me he's not going to let him just stay at the cross. Increasing in the knowledge of God. Verse 11, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 12, that you would walk worthy of God, who called you unto his kingdom. Now look, this is Christians. These are not sinners. They can't do this. This is Christians that are to walk worthy of God. Wow. So as children of God, we have a walk. That we are to walk worthy of God. God's our friend. God's our pal. God's our buddy. God will save you when you're trash. But if you keep trash, he won't hang around you. God will save a whore. God will save a drunk. God will save anything and everything that will open their heart to him. But don't expect to remain that way and God to be your pal. Amen. It makes God sick. He won't do it. That's exactly right. Now watch this. Paul says that you would walk worthy of God. My, live in such a manner that your life reflects what? God. So your dealings, your business affairs, the way you treat women, the brothers, the way you treat men, sisters, everything. The way we do everything in our life that we walk worthy of God. To walk worthy of God is to be living a life that God himself can say, I'm proud of you. You're my child. Any of you parents ever have children that walked in a way that was unworthy for you? You taught them not to drink. You taught them not to lie. You taught them not to do all kinds of things. And you found them cheating in school, or you found them drinking, or you found them, was that worthy of you? Is that what you taught them? Did you teach them lie, teach them steal? If you did that, that's the kind of life they ought to live, because that's what you taught them. Did it make you feel disappointed in that child? Did you ever say to that child, why did you do that? You knew better than that. I taught you better than that. Why does that bother you? Why does that bother you as a parent? Because you spent all these years in training that boy or that girl to do this and live this certain way. They not only sinned, but they brought that reproach upon you. That you should walk worthy. Notice in this title, Brother M preaches this after the seals. Is your life worthy of the gospel? Look at our religious system today. How can it be that the churches have ever gotten the condition that they're at now? It's because they have rejected and refused the message of God. The invitation to come to the feast. The Pentecostals, the Baptists, the Methodists, even the Catholics would bring their people to Brother Ram's meetings to get healed. Because they believe the sign. It's never been the sign that's the problem. It's the voice. Right. So they bring all these people for Brother Branham to pray for him and all this, but it's his doctrine. He's all messed up in his doctrine. Which is what we thank God for. Notice again, he says, if you'll find the Spirit comes in you from the new birth, you'll believe and do everything that God says in his word for you to do. And everything that this Bible quotes for you to do, you'll punctuate it with an amen. And And you'll not stop day and night until you receive it. Will you receive it immediately when you hear it? No, more than likely you won't. You may see a promise of God. You may get it in 6 months. It may take you a year. It may take you two. It may take you five. But a real child of God will not stop until that promise is theirs. Look, friend, the introduction part of Malachi 4 was, Brother Branham, behold, I send unto you Elijah the prophet. But he's not the only one in that verse of scripture. I'm in there too. And God's in there too. This message is not just something past tense for Brother Branham. It's for me. It's for you. It's a message to get us ready. Oh my. You say, well, I speak in tongues. You might do that. You might do that. And you might not. Well, I shout. You might do that and you might not. But there's one thing, one sure thing you will do. You will bear the fruit of the Spirit. Oh my. So you might speak in tongues and you might not speak in tongues. You might shout and you might not shout. But there's one thing for sure. Every person that truly gets the Holy Ghost in their soul will do. They will all bear the exact same fruit. Which is meanness and hatred and gossiping and backbiting and running people down and wanting to slit people's throats and... Really? That's not your fruit of the Spirit, really? My, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, faith, long-suffering, meekness, gentleness, patience. Your temper will not... You remember when you got that? That poisons the Holy Spirit from you. Can't you see why people don't want this message? Can't you see why folks is leaving it? They can't live it. This will not allow them to live it. You can only live it from here. And they're sick and tired of sitting around being something that they're not. You know why you're not tired of it? Because you're not tired of being what you are. Hallelujah to God. This is what we are. This is what I am. I love it. This is who I am. This is my identity. Oh my. When you get to a place that you want to fuss with everybody that you come along to, there's something wrong. Keep that in mind when you're posting stuff on Trashbook. I mean Facebook. When you get to a place where the minister will read from the Bible that it's wrong to do a certain thing, and you all just remember there's no Christianity there at all. Can you imagine when people hear the Word of God preached, the Word of God read from, and they get mad and aggravated? There is no Christianity there at all. But Brother Donnie, they claim. That's right, they claim. Many of them are reprobates, friend. They have turned down this truth and God Almighty has given them a reprobate mind. They will believe a lie and be damned and go to hell. But you first got to turn down truth before you get a reprobate mind. Oh, Brother Donnie, that scares me. Why should it? They've got a reprobate mind. We've got the mind of Christ. Which one do you want? It's your choice. Mama. Just remember, there's no Christianity there at all. That's now that by their fruits you shall know them. That's what Jesus said. If it's the Word and God said so, that Spirit in you will cope with that Word every time. What am I talking about? Not worthy. Not worthy. Why? Why were they not worthy? They would not take up their cross and follow Jesus. Because genuine Holy Spirit will cope with the Word. Because the Word is life and spirit. Jesus said, my words are life. And if you've got eternal life, He is the Word. How can the Word deny the Word? Oh my goodness. See, what kind of a person would you make God? That's the one thing to know. That you're a Christian when you can fully agree upon every word of God. Which includes Malachi 4. Behold, I send unto you Elijah the prophet. You believe Martin Luther had a great important place to play down through the ages? But the Lord Jesus never talked about him in the Gospels. You think John Wesley had an important place? Whitfield, Calvin, Knox, Darby, on and on and on and on we could go. But the Lord Jesus never referred to them. wonder what the value and the importance of one would be if the Lord Jesus in Matthew chapter 11 and chapter 17 said, Elias shall truly come and restore all things, shall, future tense, and restore all things. If the Lord Jesus spoke about the coming of this prophet, it must have some real value in the eyes of God. Oh my. Listen to this. If it's the Word and God said so, that Spirit in you will cope with the Word every time, because genuine Holy Spirit will cope with the Word. Let's jump on down a couple of lines here. That's one thing to know that you're a Christian when you fully agree with the Word of God and you find yourself in love with your enemy. Dear Lord, I've done figured it out while folks is leaving the message like crazy. They can't live it. Come on, Happy Valley. Don't use your pitchfork tonight now. Boy, I wish so-and-so was there. That sermon was for them. Well, God knew you'd be here and they wouldn't, so. Amen. You imagine you find yourself in love with your enemy. Some of you brothers can't do that with your wives. Some of your sisters can't do that with your husbands. You cross a little bit and you're ready to divorce. You think that's a life worthy of this message? Somebody said, well, he's nothing but a holy roller. And you start to get, be careful, be careful. But when you really, I love the way he says this. When you really find yourself that you love him. You can imagine? This has so overwhelmed you when this happens that you found yourself doing it. Why? Because it wasn't you. But you actually found Jim Babb doing something that Jim Babb's saying, you've got to be kidding me. There ain't no way that's Jim Babb. You're right, it ain't Jim Babb. Well, the real Jim Babb, please stand up. That's not the real Donnie Reagan. Oh, no, that's the flesh man. How could Donnie Reagan do this and how could he do that? That's not the one, my brother, sister. It's that real love of God. What we call is, oh, the love of God in my heart, the love of God in my heart. Most of people, it's human spirit that they have for God. It's that love in their human spirit that they love God and they think that's the love of God. But the love of God never has an end. The love of God will love your most bitter enemies and they would catch you on fire, pour gasoline on you and light a fire and stand there and watch you burn. The real love of God in your soul would pray for that man while your eyeballs is melting out of your sockets. But your human love would die. Your human love would get so aggravated at that man. That's why we need the real love of God and lay aside everything until we get perfect love. That's a life worthy. That's a life worthy to pull your feet under the table of the King. Oh my. But when you really find yourself that you love him, not Jesus, not your pastor, but your enemy, regardless of what they do, you still love them. Then you're beginning to find your patience. Apparently he holds his fingers up and measures something. Gets from about that long. Till you just have no end. So can you imagine your patience now changes? Let's go way graceful on most of us. Let's just say, wow, man, look at that. I've got so much patience with everybody. I am such a patient person. Get out of my way. Now get out. She got my parking spot at church. Ain't that the same woman that got my parking spot at Walmart today? I'm going to give her a piece of my mind. Till you find that it goes to infinity. Your patience? Wow. I see why all these Facebook folks and all these websites don't want this message. They can't live this kind of life. It's better than they are. This makes them sick to their stomach. And they're proving they're not fit to listen to these tapes. Brother Donnie, you're making enemies, but I'm making friends. My, so your patience goes from that long figure just don't have no end. Anybody just keeps saying things about you. I don't care what you say. Don't get stirred up. If you get stirred up, you better go pray first before you talk to them again. Don't get in fusses. Don't get in fuss like you ought to see somebody raise up in church. And you know what? I tell you so-and-so did so-and-so. You say, now, brother, shame on you. If there'd be more some of you saints that get enough Holy Ghost gumption in you to stop this bunch of gossip and a bunch of nonsense when people come to you. Have you heard so-and-so? You ought to do what the prophet said. Shame on you, brother. I thought more of you than that. I thought more of you and said, really? No, I didn't know it. I never did like them no way. You stinking cesspool. You garbage dump full of maggots. Here we go, Lord. Mama, now brother, shame on you. Well, you say, oh, if that's so, you listen to that scandal. Watch out, he says. You ought to hear him say this on tape. Watch out, he says. The Holy Spirit is not a cesspool. No, 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 no. The heart is occupied by the Holy Spirit. It's full of holiness and purity. Praise God. Wish I had an altar about 10 times this wide. I'd make a big altar call. And then after me and the deacons and the trustees and all the preachers got in it, y'all could get in it behind us. I can hear Brother Darrell giggling now. Let me find a place to close. The Holy Spirit is occupied by the Holy Spirit. The heart occupied by the Holy Spirit is full of holiness and purity. Thinketh no evil, doeth no evil, believeth all things, endureth long suffering. Don't fuss. When the family gets in a fuss, don't fuss with them. Your mother said, you ain't going up there at that old church anymore. All you think about now is letting your hair grow out. You look like an old grandma. Don't fuss with her. Now, Brother Random, when he says this, when you hear him on tape, he kind of changes his voice. Okay, Mother. He says it real soft and changes the tenor of his voice. Okay, Mother, it's all right. I love you just the same. You see what this is? Unconditional love. So it don't mean you love Mama more because Mama agrees with you. It don't mean you love your young ones more because they agree. It don't mean you love your wife more because she agrees with you. This is unconditional love. I love you just the same, honey. I think I'll catch my second wind and take a second text and maybe we'll preach a second sermon right here while we're together. Wow, we're just getting in the good stuff. Ah. Okay, Mother. It's all right. I love you just the same and I'll be praying for you as long as I live, see? Don't fuss. Temper breeds temper. First thing you know, you grieve the Holy Spirit away from you. You're kidding me. So you mean if I'm in the right, and me and Brother Larry get into words, or Brother Scott, or whoever it is, we get into words, and I'm right, they're totally, completely wrong. And I go to defending myself, and then all of a sudden temper gets in there, and then temper brings more temper, and I'm in totally in the right, but the Holy Spirit says, I can't stand this. I can't stand this. It just grieves him away. And there I'm left standing with Brother Larry, and the Holy Ghost said, when you get done and you repent, I'll be glad to get back near you again, but I can't stand that fussing. I can't stand that arguing. Is there anybody here that wants to live this kind of life? Watch, Brother Bram says, you'll grieve the Holy Spirit away from you and you'll be fussing back. Do you understand you cannot fuss back until you grieve him away? Now you can discuss and you can talk and you might even get heated. But when you move into the channel of fussing, just go ahead and check it. You have grieved the Holy Spirit away from you. Dear Lord, the Holy Spirit takes its flight. Temper breeds temper, love breeds love. Be full of love. Jesus said, this man will all men know that you are my disciples. When you have love one for another, that's the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Love. Let's stand together. Oh God. Brother Ben says, let me say this good and clear.
A man, if you're going to be a success, you have to go with the modern thinking of this day. They go around, they're talking about a preacher, and say, oh, isn't he a darling? Now, the only one that I know of that's ever said that about me has been Carol. I can just imagine y'all calling me that. Maybe in sarcasm. Oh, isn't he a darling? Isn't he wonderful? He just stayed there so straight, and he never keeps us over 15 minutes. And our pastor don't always bawl us out about these things. Shame on your pastor. Any man that can stand in the pulpit and look upon the sin of this day and not cry out, there's something wrong with that man. Now listen to this. He's not worthy of the gospel that he claims to be preaching. When we get all the pastors cleaned out from around us that don't believe this message, the evangelists, the teachers, the laity, standing in the pulpit, and they're not even worthy to stand there. Singers that are singing, they're not even fit to be behind the pulpit. Praise the Lord. Then I believe we'll see the Lord God move among us in a way that our heart is desired. Brother Bram said, so they make themselves excuses by saying, well, now look, my congregation, women bobbing their hair and wearing clothes that the Bible says they shouldn't do, men carrying on the way that they're doing a form of godliness, taking drinks and smoking cigars and married several times, becoming deacons of the church, even pastors. And the people put up with that such as that, that sort of life is not worthy of the gospel. A woman that'll walk and get on the telephone and tattle and start fusses in the church, that ain't a life worthy of the gospel. Listen, friends, how serious this is. Now, we're not talking about those who do this turning away from the message. We're talking about women or men that'll get on the phone. Of course, they didn't have Facebook then, thank God. Then they got on the telephone. Now they get on Facebook. Start fusses and tattle and all that. When you do that, I don't care if you've been in the message for 185 years. You're not living a life worthy of the gospel. Anybody hiring? I might need a job. A woman that'll get on the telephone and tattle and start fusses in the church and things like that, it isn't a life worth of the gospel that we're going to represent. Any person that'll break up a church, that'll start a feud between the people, whether it's a website, whether it's a Facebook, whether it's a preacher, it is not worthy of the gospel that we preach. It's a form of godliness, denying the power thereof. Listen what power it is. The power of God that keeps you from such. May God help me. Let me close with this one, sure enough. I'm closing. I mean, that can take a while, you know. I got a big gate, so it takes a while to close a big gate. Paragraph 271, he says, pray God. I love this. Pray God to let the light of this day raise in you. So the resurrection of this word can raise in you to be an obedient servant to God. Then let the fruit of the Spirit ever remain in your life. That is a life worthy of the gospel. Let's bow our heads together. Jesus, I want you to think tonight, friends, what an awesome, awesome place God has given us. We'd be able to hear the anointed word at this hour, be able to believe the message, and after how many of years still believe it, and be more convinced now than we were when we first heard it. Not only just to hear it and be around it, but to want to live it. But then I want you to look at yourself. Are you living a life that is worthy of God? not just so much Happy Valley, that you'd bring reproach on us. And we will do that. I could bring terrible reproach upon you as a pastor. You could bring it upon me as a sheep, or bring it on other sheep in the church. And it's one thing that we don't want to do to each other, but think about living a life that is worthy of God. Surely you could see tonight what I'm saying, that this was after they'd already been saved. So the cross, the blood, forgiveness, mercy, and all of that did not automatically give them a life that was worthy of God. Pointing to the cross of Jesus, it's wonderful. We'd be lost without it. Do we need it? Absolutely, every day of our life. But we can preach His cross till we're blue in the face. But if we don't preach ours going with it, we're not worthy. We are not worthy. Which is where the majority of Christendom fits today. The majority of churches. That's why they point to the cross of Jesus, not to yours. Why? It's not offensive. It's not offensive to preach the cross of Christ. But preach yours. Preach mine. That's when the trouble starts. Because people do not want to be told what to do. And many of them are not going to be. But may God give us a spirit that we will be surrendered. That when a man is telling us the truth, that we want that truth. Oh my. How many can raise your hand tonight to God and say, Lord, I want to walk worthy of you. I don't want to be a tattler, a gossiper, a fusser, a fighter. Lord, I don't want to be hateful or mean. Lord, I want to be a Christian. I believe I'm a Christian because I'm saved. I've accepted the cross of Christ. But help me, Lord, to take my cross. To bear the reproach of being a Christian, a real one. And don't pack your cross with regrets. Don't pack your cross with resentment. You understand what Jesus was finishing up in the Garden of Gethsemane? He was finishing up the stage of His will. I took care of yesterday, was talking about it. I said, you know, if people could only realize there is such power in surrender. If we could ever learn to be able to surrender everything that we are, there is such power in surrender. And this is why some of you cannot overcome things. Because you've never learned the great power of surrender. It's like you can't let go. You cannot. It's like you reserve it. You hold on to it. But if you could just let it go, you'd find the power to overcome the things that you struggle with. And that only comes. Don't come by jumping. Don't come by shouting. Don't come by reading the Word or listening to tapes. How did Jesus get the power to bear the cross? He got that power through surrender. Through surrender. That empowered Him for the rest of His journey. May God help us. How many wants to love your enemies? Pray for them. Do you find your patience instead of being 3 inches long or 2 foot long till there's no end to it? That you forbear and you're long-suffering. People run you down, talk about you, cast your name out as evil. And instead of hating them, you pray for them. You feel sorry for them. Oh, thank God, thank God. This is a real Christian, friend. Don't you understand we have to have opposition? Don't you understand we have to be talked about? We've got to be run down. But listen, your seed of Abraham, you'll come through those things on the other side like a real gem of God. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, as we bow our heads to the dust of the earth from whence we were taken, I stand here tonight before you, Lord Jesus. My heart has been smitten by this word. Dear Lord, I don't know of anybody that I hate or anyone that I have even anything against. But if I do, I pray you'd show me. I pray you'd search my life from tonight back to when I first started my journey. If there's anyone I need to call, anyone I need to apologize to, whether in the message or even back in Pentecost, if you'll show me, I'll make it right. I don't want nothing against me, Lord. Lord God, I pray that you'd search our hearts tonight. How I love the cross. How I love your willingness to die on the cross for my sins. How I value and treasure your precious blood that came out of your body that day and run down the cross and fell on the ground. But it was you, Lord, who spoke these words about us bearing our cross. So after we've accepted your penalty on your cross, your blood dripping down that cross, then there's a second stage of the cross story that many folks don't want to hear. And it's my cross. It's their cross as individuals. Mine, Lord, has been preaching things I didn't want to preach. Being reproached, laughed at, made fun of, lies told on me. Mine has been one of the gospel. I'm not an adulterer. I'm not a liar. I'm not a cheat. I'm not after money. So I'm not reproached because of sin. I'm reproached because of what I stand for, which to some people is worse. They could deal with me better if I sneaked and smoked. But they can't handle it because I still quote this prophet. And I don't get their permission to do it. I don't remember you telling me I needed it, so therefore I won't ask for it. And Lord, you know it's been difficult, as it is for all servants. Several years ago, when you laid it on my heart to start dealing with the human side of Brother Branham and showing changes in the message and progressions in the stories and this and that and the other. Oh God, I was called everything imaginable. Even got death threats on my life. All kinds of things. But I am so grateful that you laid it on my heart. So many years ago, you knew this was coming. You knew this shaking was going to come, Lord, and there'd be many people that their pastors never preached it. Some of them same pastors that ridiculed me, now they've lost people because of this. Because they didn't tell their own people. I thank you, Lord, you laid it on my heart and other men's hearts. We bore the reproach and the shame of it. But Lord, I stand here tonight grateful in my heart. And I know these people do as well. Because they've told me, Lord. And now when people have been shook to their very core, we're standing and we're going right on. Because you've already showed us these things. How we thank you for it, Lord God. Some of these sisters, Lord, but most of them, it's going to be the way they dress and the way they look. Then if they get a little age on them, they up through their 20s and 30s and maybe early 40s, and they still feel kind of pretty and attractive. And they think, well, the long dresses are in style. So other women are wearing long dresses, so it's not so bad. But a Christian wears them whether in style or out of style. They're not wanting to be in style. They're in Christ. That's what they're concerned about. Lord, then their hair and their looks. And Lord, they bear that reproach. The brothers bear the reproach because they don't laugh at a filthy joke. Or they don't do this and that and the other. Lord Jesus, may we bear our cross. These young people going to school. They go to college. They get a job. Each one of us has got a cross. You don't polish it down and send it to a wood shop, having to start with 80 grit and then go up to 120 and then work up to 240, then work up to 300 and put some sanding sealer, then spray it with lacquer and then use water and knock it down with 1500 sandpaper and then polish it with a polish and make it as slick as this piano. There's no French polishing to the cross, but it hurts, it sticks, and it's painful. But it will determine our Christianity, our walk. Forgive me, Lord, for complaining about my cross. I'm sorry, Lord Jesus. Help me to bear it, Lord God. Help me to bear it till I lay my life down. Grant it, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. How many wants to bear yours along with me? Would you raise your hand to him? And to me as your pastor. To me as your pastor. You want a cross that's rough and thorns. You're willing to bear it. The reproach for the word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Lord Jesus, we worship you tonight, Lord God. Thank you, my God. Thank you, my God and my King. Oh, Jesus, may we walk worthy of God. May we walk worthy of this message. Worthy of this gospel. May we sit down and put our feet under the table of the King. And may we have a life that we don't have to hang our head in shame. We don't have yellow smoke on our fingers from smoking, as we'd say. Or we don't have traces of pornography on our smartphone. Or we don't have to clean up our website traces where we've been into this and that and the other. But we can sit down at the table of the King and raise our head and look over at our brothers and sisters and say, God bless you. Shake their hands. We don't have to hang our head in humiliation and embarrassment because of what we've been doing the day before. May we walk worthy, Lord. Then may you say about us, as you said to that church age so many years ago, you shall walk with me in white, for you are worthy. So here is the Lord Jesus, the mighty conqueror, talking to redeemed human beings, the only worthy one that existed, telling others, you are worthy. Oh, praise God. How could they do it? They believed the message of the cross, and they also took up their cross. They bore the reproach of the revealed word for that hour. Amen. They stood the shame. They stood the reproach. And now the worthy one's looking back at them and saying, come, walk with me, for you are worthy. Take my hand and let us walk in the paradise of God, for you are worthy. Grant it, Lord God. Praise the Lord Jesus. How many wants to hear him say that to you? Do you understand what the rapture is, friends? It's the summons call. Come and sit at my table. You're worthy. You're worthy. You're worthy. Praise God. Sing that song for us, eh? Praise the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord Jesus. Listen to this now. This is one of the songs the Lord Jesus gave us himself.
For you are worthy.
Take up your cross, sisters.
Walk.
Take up your cross, young ladies. Young men. Take up your cross at college.
For you.
Take up your cross at high school.
Worthy.
Hallelujah. Oh God.
Before the world began.
Hey, Kevin. Say that to us in Happy Valley.
Walk with me.
Take up your cross and walk with me.
For you are worthy. Walk with me.
Amen, Lord.
You are worthy.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
Before the world began. your predestinated plan. Walk with you.
Gather around the front as close as we can, will you? Let's just sing this together now. Let's let Jesus sing it to us, and then we'll answer back to Him. Oh, walk with me, for you are worthy. Little bride, walk. Let's answer Him back. I'll walk with you. I'll walk with you. I'll take up my cross, Lord. I'll bear the reproach. I'll bear the shame. Tell Him, children. I'll walk with you. For you made me worthy before the world began. I believe with all of my heart I was in your predestinated plan. I'll walk. While you're standing near a brother or sister there, I want us to pray for one another. We want lives that are worthy of God. Worthy of God. Heavenly Father, as we stand here gathered around this altar tonight, dear Jesus, as they have hands, as I watched them, some clasped each other's hands. Some laid their hands over another's shoulders. Lord, they bowed their heads and the most sincere look coming upon their face. Lord, we want to be a family. A family of God. A family that walks together, that loves one another. A family, Lord, that despite our differences, despite our human makeup, and we might clash as far as the flesh is concerned, but yet, Lord, we're part of the economy of God. Lord, we believe tonight that we're holding the hands or touching the shoulder of people that we will live in eternity with. Lord Jesus, we were lost, blind, wretched, miserable, naked. But you saved us by the power of your cross. Now we're asking you tonight that you would let that go a step farther. May we embrace our cross in a different way, a deeper way, more consecrated way. Lord, and by that I'm not saying these people have not bore their cross. They have. But Lord, I'm sure they feel like I do tonight. I want to be more dedicated with it, more consecrated, Lord. Oh, God, help us, I pray, to realize it is a daily walk. We can't pick it up today and lay it down to Wednesday and then lay it down and pick it up again on Saturday, but it must be every day. Help us, I pray. Father, give us strength. Give us grace. Oh, Lamb of God, may we be as the apostles were, that when they were beaten for the name of Jesus, they rejoiced that they were counted worthy to be beaten for the name of the Lord Jesus. Oh, God, may we count it an honor that we would be reproached and made fun of and laughed at for coming to this church. May we count it an honor, oh, hallelujah, that we would be worthy to be identified with this revealed word of this hour. Lord Jesus, I count it such an honor to be identified with this message, Lord. I'm so glad the demons out of hell identify me as a message preacher. I'm so glad that our church is identified
as a message following church. Let them live. Let them make fun of us. Let them put videos all over YouTube. Let them do whatever they want to do. Lord, we are grateful that the demons out of hell, because we know that's where their inspiration's coming from. Those demons out of hell. Oh, hallelujah. They know whose side we're on. We count it an honor, Lord Jesus. We count it an honor, Lord Jesus, to be identified with this word. Oh, praise God. Help us, I pray, Lord. Thank you, dear God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Heavenly Fathers, we're standing here tonight, Lord. My heart goes down the road just a few miles, Lord. Oh, God. We'll make a ride off the main thoroughfare and turn up to Pine Hill. Go down to a little small house on the left. Lord, there's one of our dear families there. Sister Mary Horniak, Lord, as far as we know, near the valley of the shadow of death. Laying there, dear God. Her family been there with her hour after hour, day after day. We pray for them tonight, Lord Jesus. We pray for strength for them, Lord. Oh, Lamb of God, no matter what day that our sister will cross over, Lord, but yet during this season of Mother's Day, it'd be so painful for them and remembering it, Lord Jesus, but we don't really have a choice of what day or what hour we go, but we pray for the family tonight, Father. Lord, as I stood there day before yesterday, Lord, standing there by Brother Tom, Lord, and this laid his head over on my shoulder and just wept and wept, and the daughter standing there weeping and crying. Oh, Lamb of God, I pray for him tonight, Father, that you'd strengthen him. Lord Jesus, as Sister Mary's pastor, I'd do everything I could to help her. Lord, I've prayed for her and called her name and stood by her bedside and prayed. But Lord, in a few hours or in a day or so, whenever it is, she'll be taking a journey that as her pastor, I can't go. Her heart will start slowing down, her respiration getting lower, her blood pressure dropping. And all of a sudden, the heart will stop. She'll enter into that dimension to where I cannot travel with her. Oh, Lamb of God. But we know when we head down that valley of the shadow of death, we will fear no evil, for thou art with us. Thy rod and thy staff, it will comfort us. Hallelujah. She'll step over on that chariot. Hallelujah to God. And in a moment of time, that chariot will carry her across into that dimension, and she'll step out of that chariot in those beautiful fields of bluegrass. And as your prophet has told us, there'll be a loved one standing there waiting that'll greet her. Oh my. In a few moments, she'll meet the prophet of God, meet her loved ones that have gone on. She'll enter into that theophany body, look like 20 some years old. Oh, Lord Jesus, how we all long to be there, Father. I pray for the family, Lord, that you'd strengthen them, dear God. In Jesus Christ's name, praise be to God. Praise be to God. How many loves him with all your heart? Aren't you glad you serve a living God tonight? You know, I was singing about it this week. I told Brother Terry the other day, I couldn't serve a God that was not miraculous. You realize millions of people serve Buddha and Allah and all these other gods. They're not even real. They're fictitious. A fabrication of somebody's imagination. They cannot heal. They cannot deliver. They cannot save. They've never saved one person. Nobody's ever had a real emotional experience from the being of that God, because that God doesn't have a being. But aren't you glad you couldn't serve an idol? Aren't you glad that you have to have a living God to serve? A living God? Praise the Lord. The other day when Sister Anna was going to have her baby and her blood count was wrong and this was wrong and that was wrong, the doctors got scared to death and checked and said, we've got to take this baby. We've got to take this baby. Sister Tammy called Carol on the phone. Said, I'm going to give Donnie the phone, put it up to Anna's ear. We put the phone up to her ear. We prayed, as some of you all were praying. And in a matter of minutes, the doctor come back in and said, I can't explain it. I don't know what happened. But you can have this baby if you want to have it. I know what happened. I know what happened. My daddy's a supernatural God. Amen. We don't serve an idol, children. I can't understand it because according to what I'm hearing so much of, I'm supposed to be a cult preacher. I'm supposed to be a false witness and a liar, but apparently the Lord don't feel the same way about me. He shouldn't be hearing my prayers. He shouldn't be hearing your prayers. He shouldn't be meeting us this way the way he is, but apparently he likes coming to church with us.
I hope he always does. I hope he always does. God bless you. You can go back to your seats. Let's sing together, hey. Walking up the King's Highway. Praise be to God. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. I know it's a little bit of inconvenience for you to get out of your seat and all that and walk up here, but you know what I think it does us good. My way gets brighter and my load gets lighter. Walking up the King's Highway. Come on now, let's rejoice. There's joy in knowing with Him I'm going. While I'm walking up the King's Highway. Come on, saints. It's a highway to heaven. Well, none can walk up there. Oh, but the pure in heart is the highway to heaven. I'm walking up the King's Highway. Don't have to worry. Don't have to hurry. Oh, walking up the King's Highway. Jesus walks beside me. I've got angels around to guide me while I'm walking up the King's Highway. Oh, it's a highway to heaven. Come on, children, and sing it. None can walk up there. Oh, but the pure in heart is a highway. Well, just start while I'm talking. Walking up the King's Highway. Oh, there'll be a blessing. And you'll be possessing. You'll be walking up the King's Highway. It's not worthy of the gospel, shall be there. It's a highway to heaven. I'm walking up the King's Highway. Let's sing this verse now. My way gets brighter. My way gets brighter. Oh, my load gets lighter. I'm walking up the King's Highway. Oh, there's joy in knowing with Him I'm going. I'm walking up the King's Highway. Oh, it's a highway. Oh, praise God. None can walk up there. Let's sing it now. Thank you, Jesus. Walking up the King. Amen. God bless you, saints. See you in the morning. God bless you as you go. Highway to heaven. None can walk up there. But the pure.